Welcome to the Sober Podcast, part of the Soberverse, created by the team at the Sober Network. The Sober Network is engaged in revolutionizing the treatment industry by creating its own token economy. We offer fresh ideas to an industry that has relied on dated interventions. We are responsive to a new generation of substance users who are attached to their phones, so we can impact massive social change. Our unmatched technology displays solutions of our various brands, demonstrating a thorough understanding of how we get things done. We are proving that technology, along with incentivized human accountability, provides measurable and positive outcomes. Visit us at SoberNetwork.com. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Sober Podcast. My name is Carl, the host and co-host of this show. I want to welcome everybody for joining us today, and happy Friday out there. I hope that all of you are having an amazing Friday, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend lined up for yourself, because we are going to be talking some recovery today with my good friend, Jeff Vickers, who is going to talk about sober slogans. We are going to talk about positive affirmations, and we are also going to talk a little bit about the book that he wrote, and also his show, Pardon My Reach. Jeff, brother, it is so good to have you on, and welcome to the show.
Appreciate being here. Thank you for calling me, Carl.
Absolutely, really man. Absolutely. And we're going to do a salute? Let's do a salute.
Hey, that's just me, bro.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we got to get one out there, man. Start the show off right. You know, we got to make sure that we talk about a lot of things on the episode today. So we're going to jump right into it, man. You know, I just wanted to really say thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure working with the whole team at the Recovery Revolution, and you're part of the Recovery Revolution, and your sober slogans, man, dude, they are so awesome. I love, man, every time you put out new content, I'm like on my phone, I'm looking at it, right?
Thank you, bro.
And so what kind of came up for you with the idea of doing sober slogans? Because I think that we see a lot of them out there, you know. I even got a mug right here with a slogan on it. I don't know if you would call it a sober slogan, but it says, oh, look at you getting all sober and shit.
So, all right, you know, I love that.
You know, little things like that. But I think that's what the recovery community is built upon, are these sober slogans, you know. We hear about it in meetings. We hear people that share in meetings, and they'll fire slogans at us, you know, like, sit next to the winners, or, you know, things like that. So what was the basis of your sober slogan idea?
I appreciate you asking. It was insane. Okay. I was in treatment at the time, and they had a celebratory meeting going on. First of all, you know, when you're denied something for a while, and then when you finally receive it, depending on what it is, your senses may be heightened a little bit, right? So if you haven't eaten in some time and you smell some good food, you like, that's a 10. It might really be a 6, right? But you ain't eaten a while, so it's a 10 to you, right? Just the smell alone. So we were in treatment at the time. Because of COVID, we were not able to go to any outside meetings. When they allowed us to go to outside meetings, I think that I was much more aware of what was going on, because I really did want to go to meetings, because you live in the residential, you're around the same brothers, you know what I mean? But when it's time to go to meetings, you can't. So you're still around them. So it's like, oh, man, right? How can I learn from people who have more time than everyone else in the house with me? Because we're all newcomers if I'm not going to meetings, right? So when they did let us go, I was focused. I wanted to hear what was really, really going on, because this is my first attempt at sobriety, you know, and I was getting high for 32 years, but, and I, you know, got interrupted because of prison and because of family, right? Those things interrupted me getting high, because since 15 years old, that was, I was on all the autopilot. That was who I was at the time. I was crackhead Jeff. So this was the first time that I was saying, you know what? I'm going to do this recovery thing. I'm going to really do it. So when we went to the meeting, I was like, I'm going to listen. I'm going to really, you know, really check out what's going on. What became clear to me were the sober slogans that everyone was throwing around the room to each other, but they were, it wasn't plastic. It wasn't just, you know, static. It was camaraderie because the greetings were dynamic. The greetings were for real, for real. Because these people literally grew up in recovery around each other. It was a celebratory meeting, but these people, and it was a home group. So you had people who, you know, went out four or five times, but were at the same home group for like a decade. And now they're being celebrated. And this person is being celebrated for 5 years. And you know what I mean? So it was stacked like that. So when I heard the sober slogans, it wasn't the first time that I heard keep coming back one day at a time. Recovery is a journey, not a destination. You know, thanks for letting me share. It wasn't the first time I heard it. You know, I've been going to meetings, you know, since 1992, not because I wanted to, but because I had to, because I wasn't trying to get sober. You know what I mean? But I had to go to meetings because of parole. So I heard, but I didn't feel it until that night. I didn't feel it until that night. So a seed was settled, and you know, it took a couple of months for the thought to keep coming up. And the more the thought came up, the more I suppressed it. Okay. I have written before. I was a copywriter, you know, so I did freelance work, did ghost writing, you know, for small to medium sized companies, but I never penned anything with my name on it. So this thought kept coming to mind. What are these sober slogans about? And why do they keep coming up in my head, my head? And I realized that underneath every one of them, they are positive affirmations that we say to each other. And the reason why the people at that particular meeting truly, truly grasped that is because they grew together as a community. As a community. And I forgot where the quote comes from, but it's you know, language is the pathway to culture.
Yes.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but, you know, there's a quote. Language is the pathway to culture. I don't care how much money that I might have. I can go to Puerto Rico with $5 million. Right. If I do not learn that language, I will not be truly assimilated into that culture. I will always be a bystander with a lot of money.
Right.
But when you understand the language of a culture, then you can become a native, if you will, to that culture. So let's take that to the language of recovery and starting to understand, you know, when I say keep coming back, what am I really saying? When I say, you know, thanks for letting me share, what am I saying?
Right.
You know, so that's where the idea came from. I don't know what the next question might be.
All right. Well, you know, I totally agree with you because, you know, going to meetings and listening to all of the verbiage and the way that they spoke, it was like a foreign language to me. You know, I started going to meetings 4 years ago because when I went through rehab, I went through an outpatient program and we were required to go as part of the program. You know, we had to go to one meeting a week and I had been to one meeting before, but it didn't really sit with me very well because I wanted to go out and get high afterwards. And so, you know, my whole idea was, what are these people talking about? And like you stated, we have to learn the language in order to assimilate better into the opportunity that is presented in front of us and to grasp what they're talking about and to have an idea of the possibilities that can come from maintaining a life of continuous sobriety. But
yes, sir.
We have to learn that language, man. And, you know, and that's the whole thing. And I would look at my sponsor. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? What did he just say? My sponsor's like, don't be an idiot. And then he says, I'll tell you after the meeting. But, you know, but it was a lot of questions. And so I'm a questioner. I love asking questions and finding more. You know, I always want to gain more out of something. And so I always ask questions and I always encourage people to ask questions. You know, I'm not one of the guys that says, sit down, shut up. And, you know,
we don't do that.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
I want them to ask questions. Yeah. I want that. I encourage questions, man, because I know
I like having the hard conversations, Carl, no matter what those conversations are. You know what I mean? I like having hard conversations, you know, and when we speak about going back to, you know, these sober slogans, the conversation is, you know, underneath them, what are they? Mm-hmm. For me, I found the spiritual principles for my life mm-hmm. and how they spoke to me with these sober slogans. You know, personalities, principles before personalities, right?
Yeah.
I still practice that till this day on so many levels. I even practice it with my wife when she gets on my nerves. The principle right? of the conversation is more important than the dislike I presently have for her personality right now.
Right.
How does that apply to recovery? Sponsors.
Right.
Sponsees, brothers and sisters in the rooms.
Right.
You know, and of course, we don't think about it every single time, but everything takes practice. But for me, again, principles before personalities, literally that comes up in my head when I am faced with a situation with another human being. And it's more important for me to hear what they're saying and not focus on who they are.
Right.
This is something that we can use in every human interaction.
Right.
But for me, being a writer, another thing that spoke to me is if I can drill something down to a very low compound, but understand exactly what it means, right? Mm-hmm. And I can train myself to understand what that means, I can pull from that. So if I say right now, you give me a little, you know, let's say you're my sponsor, you tell me something I don't want to hear. Mm. And instead of me treating you like the adults on Charlie Brown, remember that? Wah, mm-hmm. wah, wah, wah. We never heard the adults speak
right?
on
never.
Charlie Brown.
Never.
Exactly, right? So instead of me going in my head, wah, 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 I am like, you know what? That's my sponsor. And what he is saying is the principle of the subject. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I don't like, let's just say that he smokes cigarettes. I don't anymore. And he reeks, you know, right. certain things like that. So we focus on. So for me, you know, when I'm in a situation like that, these recovery models, these sober slogans, they come to mind and I honestly live through them.
Right. And it's also teaching us good communication skills as well, too. You know, learning how to speak to one another in a meaningful manner and learning how to receive the message as well, because that's also an important part of the whole process of communication. It's not just talking to somebody, but it's also having the wherewithal and the ability to receive what somebody is telling us. And that's why I love what you're doing, brother. So tell me, what was the first slogan that you heard that blew your mind, that really like sent you over the top and said, this is my calling and this is what I can do for the recovery community and for the community at large?
Thank you. Recovery is a journey, not a destination. I'm parched. I ain't getting any water. That's all right. The reason why that really hits home with me, when we understand that, then we won't have conversations about if Cali sober is really sober, if Matt is really sober, if we won't have conversations like that, because we'll know recovery is a journey. And if it is a journey, that journey belongs to that person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My journey is mine. Your journey is yours. But the beautiful thing about it is that we're in each other's orbit because that energy is for both of us.
Yes.
We are both striving to be the best versions we can possibly be. So here it is, we're in each other's orbit, but your pathway is yours and my pathway is mine. So your recovery is yours. It's not, I'm finally here. That's the second portion of it. That's the destination.
Yeah.
It is a journey. So when I wake up every day, I expect to be wowed. I'm exactly. dead serious. Every day that I wake up, I expect to be wowed because I am on a recovery journey. And from the day that I promised my higher power and myself that I would do the right thing, it has been a very blessed journey.
That's right.
You know, for me, but it's no destination.
Right.
There's no, okay, once I write my fifth book, I'm done with recovery, right? Mm-hmm. Once I'm on my 100th podcast, I'm done. No, there's no place where I go and then it stops. It, you know, I go to Hawaii. That's a destination.
Right.
Where you know exactly where you're going. I don't know where I'm going. But that's the beautiful part of the journey. I don't care what movie, what book, I mean, any saga that you mm-hmm. think about, the person never knows the journey. What they know is what they're after. What they know is what is promised as long as they go according to their journey. I don't care what the story is. That is always going to be the same for every protagonist and or antagonist. Mm-hmm. You don't know the journey, but you know you're going to be wow.
Right? I love it, man. I love that so much, man. I can listen to you talk all day.
Nah, I can listen to you talk. I need that voice.
Oh, man.
I need to tweak my voice a little bit.
Hey, it's all in the soundboard and the microphone, brother. my voice goes up 5 decibels when I'm not behind the mic.
You got presets.
Oh, all the way, brother. All the way, man. So let's talk a little bit about manifestation. And why is manifestation so important to be aware of when we're on this journey of recovery?
I'm really excited about that question. Mm. Thank you so much. Okay. Manifesting is something that I came across when I was in my 20s, when I was in prison. Okay. I came across manifesting. I came across Siddhartha yoga and a whole, you know, bunch of stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was in prison from 90 to 92, 93 to 96 and 2000, from 99 to 2008. So I did a little bit of time mm-hmm. and, you know, I came across some stuff that it planted a seed. And what it was is, what would you say if I told you that you could dig within yourself, Carl, tell yourself who you are, what you want out of life, and you could literally make that happen? Hmm. You'd say, show me the way, right? Hmm. But what that is called is manifesting. What that is called is not looking over our shoulders at the old person that we were, mm-hmm. right? But projecting today who I will be tomorrow.
That's right.
I have five, and we do that heavily through positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. That is one of the key skill sets that you need to have in order to manifest. What are you telling yourself every day? Right? And the reason why that's extremely important is because there's always a battle going on in the mind. Yeah. Always. And that battle is crackhead Jeff versus who I am today.
Right.
You know, whatever, the author, the blah, 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 right? But crackhead Jeff to Jeff Vickers today. So there's always something going on upstairs where I have to constantly say, no, that is a thought from crackhead Jeff. Mm. That is a belief from crackhead Jeff. So when you arrest it, what do you replace those thoughts with? Whatever you want to.
Right.
Those are the affirmations that we say about ourselves. So for me, every day, I am rich. This is every day. And then I add on. Mm-hmm. Every day I have five. I am rich. I am rich. I am youthful. I am healed. I am loved. I am one of the top paid speakers in the world. Mm. Those are my five every day. For me, mm-hmm. my life is proving that I am actually manifesting those things.
That's right.
Hands down, regardless of what I put on social media, a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, is in the making for my life as well as everyone else's. But what I know is that I am literally manifesting the life that I said that I wanted when I wrote the book. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, we have the book now and it's like, okay, but what happened, you know, before you wrote the book? Right. I had to literally manifest every day, tell myself every day, I am Jeff Vickers, the author, before I wrote the book. Mm. While I was blueprinting the book, I am now, not I will be. No, I am now. And as long as I said that to myself every day for the 94 days it took me to write the book, I proved it to myself before it was true, before I had a physical copy. Mm-hmm. I said it. And then I said, I am a paid public speaker before I received my first check. And now I say I'm one of the top paid speakers in the world. That's going to happen as well, brother.
I believe
that's manifested.
I believe it, man. And, you know, and that's something that I really believe in, too, because like you, you know, being out on the streets and being in deep in addiction for 17 years on methamphetamines and, you know, and all the crazy stuff that went on with that. I was content with my life at one point. I summed my life up as this is what it's going to be. You know, all the aspirations of going to school and being something were thrown out the window because I was content with being high and being a hot mess out on the streets. And so when I came into recovery, I told myself, well, I wanted to live by one truth, and that was honesty. That was the first thing I had to work on. And I said that if I can be honest with everybody else, I can start being honest with myself. And so everybody I met, I told I was an addict. I didn't care if it was somebody in the superstore. I'd figure out a way to tell somebody, you know, because I wanted my truth to be out there and to be known to the world. And as soon as I started doing that, I saw good things starting to happen. And then I realized that I could take that and I could manifest my life in front of me and manifest my future just by being honest and working a program of honesty and working on myself and coming up with these positive affirmations like you're doing and telling myself that I'm worthwhile and telling myself that I can achieve great things and telling myself that I'm smart enough to go back to school because I haven't been in school for 35 years. And doing all of these things, I've learned that if we have the positive mindset and we stay in this mindset, then we can achieve anything. Addicts are the most resourceful people in the world. I don't care who you put in front of me. If they're an addict, I'm going to put money down on that person for beating out the person that came out of Harvard Law School.
Every time.
Every single time.
I'm dead serious. Every time.
Exactly.
Every time. You know, and I like to double back and speak to something you said, bro. Yeah. First of all, it's our first time actually talking, but I knew what it was. You know what I mean? That's why I can't wait to come back on the other platform, right? But tell your audience how crucial those positive affirmations are. See, that's the thing.
Oh,
tell them how crucial tell yourself every day who you are before it is seen in the three, you know what I mean?
Right.
That is so crucial because we have, okay, if I shut up right now, which I hardly do, right? But I shut up. The voice that's going on in my head is me.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, if I wake up and say you a piece of crap, I am saying that to myself. Then I wake up the next day, you are such a beautiful soul. I said that to myself as well. Mm-hmm. It is a fact that if I continuously beat myself down, the things that I say to myself, that's the only thing I'm going to see in this world.
That's right. That's right.
However, let me wake up on that second day and tell myself I am loved and I am worthy. And I continuously tell myself that all day long. See, that's the key. Not just for a second, we have to retrain how we talk to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So if I'm saying to myself, hypothetically, you're crackhead Jeff 15 times a day, right? I might need to tell myself I am Jeff Vickers, the author, 115 times a day.
That's right.
Because then what happens is those thoughts, where they go? Where they go? We're talking to our recovery, our community, so they can understand, right? When you do cocaine and you get that drip to go down and you get it right.
Right.
Same thing when we say positive things to ourselves. We get that drip.
Yes.
It goes to the subconscious.
That's right. We know that we're doing something right, man.
Okay. It gets dripped down to the subconscious and it becomes the new seed that we plant in our own minds about our own selves. And even though we're out here and we're struggling and we, you know, and let's say Jeff Vickers, the author. And I just keep ripping up manuscript after manuscript. I promise you, if I keep saying that to myself, eventually I will have a finished manuscript.
Right.
That is manifesting. But the key ingredient has to be the positive affirmations we say to ourselves to uproot the negative stuff we've been saying to ourselves our whole lives. No one becomes Crackhead Jeff if they are always saying, I'm Jeff Vickers, the author.
Exactly.
It's impossible.
And you know, Jeff, you bring up a really good point, because what we're doing when we tell ourselves these affirmations and we want to manifest our lives in a positive and pro-social manner, you know, these are things that we learn in recovery, right? To be pro-social. We don't want to be antisocial. We don't want to be negative. And a lot of times that inner voice inside of our heads is like, oh, man, you fucked up on that one, didn't you? And now we really have to combat it, right? But what we're doing, guys, is that we are building confidence in ourselves. And that self-confidence is going to make you competent in what you're talking about. And competence is key if you're going to master a skill. Because what competence does, it is allows you to now explain how to do the skill and to teach it to somebody else in a manner that is going to provide for them and it's going to provide for you at the same time. So if you have the inner workings to do positive affirmations, you have the forefront to do the mindset of I can make something out of myself.
That's right.
And now we're manifesting. And now we're putting that confidence in ourselves. And then pretty soon we're going to be competent in what we are manifesting for ourselves so that we can teach it to others, just like Jeff is doing right here.
That's right. Thank you, Carl. Speaking of which, let's segue to that. I would like to leave your community with two resources.
All right.
Okay. Joe Dispenza. Come on now. Dr. Joe. Are you familiar with Dr. Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Joe Dispenza speaks about manifesting, visualizing, meditating. Mandatory. Absolutely mandatory. Okay. If you're interested in manifesting, that you research Dr. Joe Dispenza. And then we have Bruce. What's Bruce's name?
Oh, Bruce.
Lipkin?
Yeah.
Lipkin? Lipton. Is Bruce Lipton?
Lipton or Lipkin?
Let me look it up.
Because I always mess his name up, man. I get Lipton tea in my head, and then it just screws me up, brother.
let me look him up. Yes, but those, you know, while I'm looking this up, mm-hmm. those two brothers right there are extremely, just go right to my YouTube, I'll put him right up. But those are the two thought leaders in that space that I follow.
Yes.
I follow Joe Dispenza because, I mean, you know, for... I don't know, 40 years, he's been talking around the world about the power of meditation and self-healing. He literally healed himself. He has these incredible conventions all around the world and the brain scans that they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. And we're still talking about manifesting, family.
That's right.
Okay. And then we have Bruce. Bruce is actually, go right here, my history.
And Jeff, while you're looking for that one, man, I want to throw another name out there for you. His name is TJ Woodward, and he brings a new approach to what he developed, which is called conscious recovery. And so we get inside of our souls and our minds in order to develop a better recovery plan for ourselves. And so he's going to be coming up on the show, too. I hope I send an invite out to him.
TJ Woodward.
Yeah.
Right?
TJ Woodward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is, I definitely, thank you.
Yeah.
See how we do?
That's right.
See how we do? We share these resources. I love it. But it is going back to, and thank you. If you wanted to elaborate more on him, I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, no. You're good, man. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I just wanted the correct spelling. It is Lipton, like
Lipton.
T.
Okay.
Lipton.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Bruce. So Bruce Lipton is actually the father of epigenetics.
Wow. That's
the reason why
epigenetics.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason why epigenetics is important for manifesting. It's important for a lot of reasons, but science is proving that we are not, I don't want to get too deep into it, but you know, the Newtonian,
mm-hmm.
All right. The Newtonian perspective, if you will, about us and, you know, civilization and who we are. They used to think that, you know, we tapped out as far as being able to advance when we got to a certain age as far as consciousness.
Yeah.
Now, by the time we were 30 something. Right. We were hardwired. Mm-hmm. Whereas epigenetics proves, even on a cellular level, that's not true. Mm. That we can continuously change.
Right.
Right. And not just change, but we can continuously change for the better. And they prove that all the way down to ourselves.
Well, I think that's even proven in recovery with addicts that are recovering. Because on a cellular level, our brain structure is so distorted and so screwed up depending on what type of substances we were using. And our brain function is so low with some of us that once we become sober, we are making those connections again. And we are reformulating these routes, these bio routes and these connections inside of our brain through the synapse and all the things that happen inside, right? And so we see more activity as we progress further along in our recovery. So the statement that you made is absolutely true. Jeff, real quick, we're going to take a short break. We're going to do a commercial. And then when I come back, man, I want to talk about Pardon My Reach. And then I also want to jump into our rapid fire questions. We'll be right back.
The Sober Podcast is now part of the Soberverse. It is another innovative solution developed by the Sober Network. The Sober Podcast is giving a voice to recovery. For more information about this and all the other parts of the Soberverse, visit us at thesoberverse.com, thesobernetwork.com, sober.com, sobersystems.com, soberpodcast.com, sobercoin.io, and recoverycoaches.com.
All right, guys. And if you are joining us, we are with Jeff Vickers today. And Jeff has taken the time out of his busy schedule to come onto the show and talk to us about manifestations. And we're talking about sober slogans. And we're talking about those positive affirmations and how we can improve our lives one day at a time with one slogan at a time and giving ourselves lots of positive affirmations, those things that we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel good about ourselves, because we are worth it. We can achieve anything. Anything you put in front of yourself, the only limitation is yourself. If you don't believe you can achieve it, then you will not achieve it. But if you tell yourself, I can achieve this, I don't know how I'm going to achieve it, but I will achieve it, you will start to figure out a way to achieve it. So, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about your show, Pardon My Reach. And, man, I love the name of the show. Like, I heard it. Brett told me about it from the recovery survey. And he said, oh, this guy, Jeff Vickers, you gotta listen to his show. It's called Pardon My Reach. And, man, I was driving to Monterey, and I listened to your show, and I was drawn into it. I forget which guest you had on. It was like 3 months ago. I forget who it was, but
male or female?
It was a male. It was a white guy.
3 months ago, maybe Jay Sachs.
Maybe he was a little bit older. He looked kind of businesslike.
I don't know. it only had 14 episodes. Yeah, right? But I'm like really going through it right now.
Yeah. It was cool, man. And he was, man, it was such a good episode. And I love the energy you bring to all of the content that you put out on social media, man, because I'll tell you one thing. It is definitely not something that I say, oh, he's just blowing smoke up my butt, right? But it is something that I really, truly can get behind. And I feel like, you know, the love that you put into the content that you put out there for the people in the recovery community and the people in the general community as well. Because I have to believe that we have people that listen to this that aren't in the recovery community. We have people that listen to our content that are of all walks of life and of all portions of the world that can get in touch with our different content that we both put out. So tell me, what is the idea behind Pardon My Reach?
Okay. So Pardon My Reach, it's weird. Believe it or not, I'm a real shy person. Yeah. I kid you not. I am, right? I'm shy. So part of my reach was my challenge to myself to get in front of people, right? Mm. See, I could write a book all day. You know what I mean? Just, you know, leave me alone, right? Let me do my thing and I don't have to deal with anybody, right? Part of my reach was a challenge to myself to get in front of people, to have these conversations, for me to conquer certain debilitating characteristics I have. Mm. And I categorize it like that in my head because I know who I am. Mm. So in order for me to know who I am, I also have to know what I need to work on, right? Mm-hmm. And one of those things was having conversations with people and not being so self-conscious about myself. With my own insecurities. How do I look on camera? How do I? And that's just real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the thought came about, well, you know what? I need to challenge that. It'll also be an opportunity for me to prove once again that I don't care what our personal characteristics that a human has, as long as I'm able to identify with the pain. Mm. Okay, it proves that we have that connection.
Right.
So that was important to me, and of course, you know, to be able to get this content out to whomever, and at the same time, you know, to let the community know who I am.
Yeah,
you know, and the reason why I named it Part of My Reach, I named it that for a few reasons, but the number one reason why I named it Part of My Reach is because the tagline to it is, over here, we don't make excuses for being great, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would say, hey, Carl, thanks for coming on Part of My Reach over here where we don't make excuses for being great. I ain't got it all down the way y'all do yet, right? But the tagline basically says anyone that I'm having this conversation with is on the same page with me, mm-hmm. meaning they are striving for their own greatness because now they are in recovery and have woken up to themselves,
right?
To themselves and what it is that they need to be doing on their journey of recovery. So that's what it's about.
Man.
And I'm still, you know, learning how to tighten it up and make it look this way and that way. And, you know, the bells and whistles, but, you know, it's for me to make sure that, and it's also like sober influences like Mike Fiora. I think that's how you say Mike's name. Mm-hmm. Mike is booked already. You know what I mean? But I mean, come on, people want to, you know, if Mike is having the kind of conversations that makes me excited, because mm-hmm. I'm like, with it, I need to have you on a show.
Right.
So, you know, because if I'm feeling you and a little bit of people that, you know, take their time to hear what I have to say, if I got you on, then they know that you're going to be about your business as well. So,
that's right.
And then we fortify ourselves with each other. You know, look, you just gave me a resource. I might have just given your audience a resource as far as, you know, Bruce Lipton and Dr. Joe Dispenza. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when we have these conversations. We grow, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, and that's what, I mean, I love doing podcasting. I love doing the live show. I love doing this type of work, man. And, you know, if you might not believe it, I've only been doing this for 7 months. I'd never stepped in front of a microphone before. I didn't know anything about podcasting. I had a background in DJing because I did a lot of underground parties and stuff in the Bay Area here in San Francisco and you know, did that type of stuff. But I had never put myself out there like we're doing right now because I'm also an introvert, man. You know,
I am an ambivert.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that I would rather, like my wife asks me all the time, tonight, what would you rather, do this or do this? Do this? Mm. I would much rather watch a concert than go to a concert.
Okay.
I'd much rather do this than have to go to a studio and do it. Like, you know what I mean? First and foremost, I'm always like, how can I like be a little more reserved but engage?
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't do that, then, you know, I fully engage. So I'm not the guy that I never want to, but I'm not the guy that always wants to. But if you don't know me, you don't know that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no. And I totally get that too, you know, and I have the same thing. So I want you to look this up when we get off this interview and everybody that's listening, you can also find this. It's a test. And don't worry, you don't have to be good about taking a test because there's no right or wrong answers to it. But it's called the Four Tendencies. And it's kind of like a personality test. And I forget what the four tendencies are, but my tendency is to be a questioner. And I stated that earlier in the conversation that I question things, man. I need to have an answer. And so, you know, I'm putting my hand up and I say, I have a question. And that's my tendency.
But that was me.
But that's also that drive for knowledge that I seek too, and the hunger to educate myself. One of the things that we learned in the Marine Corps was that knowledge is power. And the more things I'm knowledgeable about, the more power I'm going to have over my future and what I perceive that I can do.
I agree with you 100%. I don't know what else to say to that, you know, but I am voracious when it comes to my hunger for knowledge.
That's right.
I really am.
That's
I love learning.
Man, you know,
what I love learning about the most is about myself.
Ooh,
yeah.
Man.
I love learning about me. Because what I am learning is that the more that I learn about myself, the more I see how valuable I truly am.
That's right.
And I'm not talking money. I ain't talking none of that kind of stuff. But I mean valuable. I have value now. Mm-hmm. I always had it. I was unaware of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. I am on a quest to find out as much about myself as possible so I, before I go, can, you know, get to the best version I can at that time.
Yes.
That's my goal.
That's right.
And we have to know ourselves in order to do that. And we have to have a thirst for knowledge for that quest to even start.
I love that.
If you don't really care about knowledge, you know what I'm saying? Seriously, if you don't really, you know, if things in life really don't intrigue you and you like, wow, and get really excited by ideologies and things of that nature, you still have your path. But I think for those who get excited just by the idea of ideas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, and you're one of them. Obviously, I'm one of them. You know, we get excited by the idea of ideas because we get excited about the possibilities of humanity. Bro.
Absolutely. You know? Man, this has been a cool interview. I needed this interview today. You know,
I needed it, Carl. Like, I kid you not. I was, you know, smoking my little cigarette, pacing, like, I don't want to get into the Zoom too early, but I want to, like, I want to talk to the bro. Let me get,
I was on 20 minutes early, but,
oh, word?
But sometimes my computer takes forever to boot. And so like, I gotta start my boot up process or at least logging on to my computer 30 minutes before I'm supposed to be on something. Cause I did that once where it was a disaster. Listen to my Halloween episode. I told the whole story. I was supposed to do this interview and everything was going wrong for me. And I'm glad nobody was home because I definitely wasn't practicing principles before personalities. But you know what, but what I did is I went on and I did the whole episode and we talked about, having safe Halloween, but I told my truth about the feelings and the reaction to my feelings that I had in the moment there, because I had to release it, man. You know, and I had to tell the truth about the struggles that we have at times. And speaking of struggles, we are going to dive right into some rapid fire questions. Are you ready, sir?
I am ready. Let's get it.
Excellent, man. All right, brother. If you could be transformed into one animal, which animal would you choose?
That would be a wolf.
A wolf. Ooh, I like that one. All right. Have you ever gone viral online?
No, sir. Not yet.
Not yet, but you will.
Definitely.
Because you are the greatest speaker on earth.
I am one of the top paid speakers on earth.
That is right. All right. What dish do you cook best?
Crackhead soup.
Crackhead soup. Hey, we're not making spread over here, brother. We're not making spread.
The only thing I don't know how to cook good. I just thought about it. I used to make good banana pancakes for my children.
Okay, cool. I love that, man. All right. What is your favorite board game?
Monopoly, of course.
Monopoly. Ooh, I love that one, man. All right.
A capitalist.
Finish this phrase. The way to my heart is
through love.
Through love. What are you most looking forward to in the next year?
Getting paid more money to speak.
That's right. All right. What is one thing you wish you enjoyed more?
Myself.
Okay. What never fails to make you laugh?
My wife.
What is your favorite way to work out?
Meditate.
Okay. If you were to write a book, another book, what would it be about?
Rapid fire, huh?
Rapid fire, brother.
I would write a saga. I would write a novel, because this is nonfiction, right? So I would write a novel about a guy on his sober journey in a universe that is heavily built on addiction.
Okay. All right.
In a multi-universe.
In a multiverse. All right.
Multiverse. Thank you.
Summer or winter?
Definitely summer.
Salty or sweet?
Sweet.
All right. Tell me the top three times that you wish your wife would not call you.
When I'm taking a crap. When. And the other two would be the same. Yeah. Other than that, she could call me anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah,
all right.
When I'm doing that.
Right. Exactly. All right, brother. And the last question I always ask all of my guests on any of my shows, who is your favorite Disney character? Mind-blowing.
My favorite Disney character would be Mickey.
Mickey.
Has always been Mickey.
Man, that's such
through
a classic.
All the iterations. If you know Mickey, you know there's been a lot of iterations.
Yes.
You know, especially, you know, some very, you know, inappropriate social commentary. Mm. But that, you know, was, you know, you know how that go, right? Well,
yeah.
Disney, you know, where he comes from, who he was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I've always loved Mickey.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much. Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you being on the show tonight. I want to remind all of the people that are listening, we are going to have Jeff's social media links posted on the show notes below. We are also going to have any other links that we talked about a few things during the show today. So I'm going to meet with you and we'll try to figure out what other links we can include about some of the topics that we've done. I also want to include a link over to your book. So people, if they want to check out your book, they can.
That'd be awesome. I'd appreciate it.
They can get a link to that. And also over to Pardon My Reach, which is an amazing show. And the amazing host of that show, Jeff Vickers, on tonight. If you guys have enjoyed the content that we have brought you today on the Sober Podcast, please hit that follow button or that subscribe button on your favorite streaming app. Also, please give us a rating. This is helpful because we put a lot of content out there, and sometimes we don't have any way when we post it onto our podcast streaming service like Buzzsprout or Podsprout. Anyways, so we want to make sure that you guys are enjoying the content that we have coming out for you guys. I want to thank you for listening to the Sober Podcast.